You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Our scripture reading today is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 17. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
It's the new year. Isn't it great? I mean, it's almost the feeling of, oh, wow, all of that's behind me. That is so good. I mean, it's like being washed, like having a nice, clean shower. You just, oh, okay, we can start new again. And then the reality sets in. All the stuff from last year is still going on this year. Not anything new. It's like turning 50, you know? You're 49 and 364 days, and all of a sudden you're 49 and 365 days, and it's not any different than the day before or the next day. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, I don't have a solution except the lesson today. You're complete in Him, right? That takes care of everything. It's the beginning each day, anew, fresh. And we're going to see why. We'll see why. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, we thank you as you bless our time and fellowship. We thank you for your word, and we pray for the study, that it meet each heart need. Your spirit be the teacher. We thank you, Father, for the truths that are found here, and that the truth always overcomes the lie. We don't need anything else but the truth. We thank you for that. We pray, Father, that we be obedient to it, to trust and obey you in all things, that we give you the honor and the glory. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this letter to the Colossians, the sister letter to the Laodiceans, you know, Paul begins here in chapter 2 talking about Christ. And this whole letter, as does all the Bible, speaks of Christ. Now, we don't get that a lot of times. We think that, you know, a lot of this is speaking about me and what I need to do. But it's not. It's talking about Christ. There's not one thing in the Bible that's talked about that I can do and be successful at doing apart from Him. Yeah. Oh, you might be able to put it into practice, and it might look good for a while, but you can't keep it up. Not in your own power, not in your own way. There's going to be a time where you're going to falter and you're going to fall. But in Christ, you have the power and the strength to do that. Everything in this Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's the Acts period, whether it's the prison epistles, it speaks of one person. It speaks of Him. It speaks of Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about here. In the second chapter, we see that error has crept in. Epaphras has come back and come to Rome, and he's told Paul, he said, hey, we got some problems over in Colossae, and I need a letter. And so he gets a letter, and he comes back, and he gives this letter to him, and he says, you know, here's the answer to the problems that we're having. Christ. Look at verse 9. In Him, Christ, chapter 2, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is the answer. And there's one of the great truths that we understand more in the prison epistles, because we're the fullness of Christ. We who believe that we're the body, we understand that more than those that are still trying to serve the kingdom principles and the kingdom message. They don't fully understand this, because there's still a little thing that's activated when you begin to start teaching kingdom message and kingdom principles. You know what it is? It's do. It's do, do, do. What can I do? I've got to do. I've got to do. I've got to do something because I'm part of the kingdom and I've got to help usher in the kingdom. It's all part of that whole parcel. And it takes the focus right off of Christ. It puts the focus on who? Me. Christ is it for us in the prison epistles, and Christ is all that there is. He's all in all. We learn that over in chapter 3, verse 11. Look at that real quick. Where in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all that there is in our life. Christ is all that there is in every thought that we have. And when we have thoughts that are contrary to that, we need to start bringing them back into the subjection or captivity of Christ. The fullness, this term we've looked at before, the pleroma, it is everything that there is. There's not anything apart from Him. It is everything that there is. Everything was created by Him, was created for Him. Nothing exists, and this we learn over in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. Back up to the second half of 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Christ. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. Now that's a wonderful relationship we have, because in the next verse we see how this applies to us. In the next verse of chapter 2, verse 10, we learn that in verse 9, in Him, in Christ, what? Dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. Oh, if only every Christian would live their life with that understanding. But Paul here is saying we need to understand some things. Look at verse 2. Of chapter 2. Paul says that he desires that the hearts of these who are reading in Colossae and Laodicea, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, even Christ. The mystery of God, not the mystery, but the mystery of God is Christ. What is that? That, well, he wrote it over in our 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's come on back to Colossians. That is this idea. And look at, because of that, we are complete in Him. We're filled to the full. Since Christ is the fullness, we don't need anything else. He's all that we need. There's a little pamphlet out there that covers this. It's written by William Holman called Complete in Christ. And it's out there on our book rack. And if you don't have this, and if you have it, but you haven't read it in a while, pick it up and read it again. It talks about the completeness that we have. We don't need any of the other things. Christ plus anything loses what we have. It robs us of that position that we have. And that's what Paul's arguing about. He says, now in Christ, I'm going to drop back to chapter 2, verse 2. In Christ, we find the mystery of God. Verse 3, in whom, Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that I need. And it seems so sad that all of our pursuits are for things, money, possessions, position, and not wisdom and knowledge. And yet all the treasures are in wisdom and knowledge. That's where where the real treasures lie. And in Proverbs, Solomon talks about true treasure. And it's always wisdom. And it's always knowledge. And it's always understanding. We read this morning in Proverbs chapter 14. Turn over there. I think it was verse 11. Let's look real quick. It's verse 11. We studied this. Scott Bridges, he's written just a tremendous book on Proverbs. And if you get a chance, you ought to take some time to study, read the book. But look, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Now, he's talking about a real house, a possession. Something that man works day and night to get money to provide. And when he does, he's never happy with what he's got. It's always, want something better. Want more. This is not enough. But But notice he says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. That's a real house. But the tabernacle. Now, what's a tabernacle? Huh? That's the tent of worship. That's not the house. That's not a possession. The tabernacle. It's where we learn about God. In fact, there's probably more descriptions of the shadows and the types of Christ in the tabernacle than in any other place in Scripture, even though all Scripture talks about Him in shadow and type. But it's not the reality. It's only it's like Kathy's little toys down here. Those aren't the reality of the men and women who are in service. We're just playing a game. The real game is, out there in the warfare. Back to verse 11 there, it says, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Gosh, that is just so hard to get in the groove with, Come on back to Colossians. That is so difficult. I just wish I knew what to do so I could be there. You're there in Christ. Christ has done it all. You don't need to add one whit, one iota. You don't need to have anything but Christ. You're complete in Him. Live life knowing that you're complete in Him. Whoa. Wow. That's kind of a novel thought. So if I'm complete in Him, I don't need to do anything, do I? No, you don't. It's all been done. So does that mean I can go ahead and enjoy the pleasures of this earth and this world? Yes, you can. All your sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. But the true child of God doesn't want to. Why? Because of the love of Christ. How do I learn about that? Well, I learn about that by studying this book, by learning about Him. Not by going to the zoo or riding around the lake. Although there's many things in creation that speak of Him, there's more things in my conscience that speak of Him. But if I spend my time doing that and not learning of Him, I end up self-absorbed about me and what I see and what I can do instead of learning about Him. He's my all. He's my everything. That's what the heart that knows Him embraces. That's what Paul's trying to tell these folks. Don't be misled. Don't be beguiled. I'm in Colossians 2 now, verse 4. Don't be beguiled with enticing words that speak about things that don't pertain to Him, because you're complete in Him. And in verse 8, don't let any man plunder you. Don't let any man rob you. Don't let any man steal from you the joy and the comfort and the peace that comes from knowing you're complete in Him. You don't need their philosophy. It's just vain deceit. You don't need their tradition. Job sits over there and he's just languishing. My gosh, what's happened to me? But no matter what's happened to me, I'll never curse God. I'll never give up on God. Came into this world, he says, with nothing. And when I leave, I've got nothing. But I'll never lose Him. From the world's point of view. And then his three friends come at him. And one of those friends, I think it's Bildad, he comes at him and he begins to talk about tradition. Well, let's look at what the fathers have said and the situation that you're in. Job's final conclusion about these guys is, you guys are about the worst comforters I've ever met in my whole life. Terrible. Christ is where we find our comfort. Knowing Him. And trusting in Him. The reality of it. Not just the shadow and the substance. Not the rudimentary things. Don't be fooled even by those things. Don't go back to those basics. And it was so easy for them to do. Because all that they had... you had Jews and you had Gentiles. And then all of a sudden Christ came on the scene. And now you had Jewish believers and Gentile believers. Well, you start out with Jewish believers, and then Gentiles came in with the Jewish believers, and in the Acts period, all of a sudden Paul comes along, and the door was open. Remember in Acts 14, the door was open to the Gentiles. And so now the door has been opened so that we have Gentile believers. So we have Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. But there's a problem with that, because the Jewish Christians still obeyed the law. They didn't find any salvation in the law. They began to understand the truth that was spoken of in the Old Testament by Habakkuk, that the just shall live by faith. And Paul wrote that in the Roman letter, just shall live by faith. And in Martin Luther, 1,500 years later, because that seemed to have gotten lost because of the Petrine theology that for 1,500 years embraced Christianity, the idea of the kingdom and the service here on this earth, instead of understanding that we're complete in Christ and that our reward is in the heavenlies far above where God has raised us with Him and seated us with Him. Martin Luther began to understand justification by faith. Began to get back onto that right division. Quit trying to do. You can't in philosophy, you can't in tradition, you can't in the rudimentary, elementary things, you know. Learn about Christ. In Him, you're complete. Back to chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 10. I need to move on. The next thing is really fascinating because it tells us that He who is the fullness of the Godhead, and He in whom all the fullness is pleased to dwell, that's over in chapter 1, we've covered that, He is the head of all principality and power. So in case that you're thinking, well, gosh, you know, there's these other things, there's nothing. He's still the head of all that. He is in first place. He is in the first position. He came before them. And these principalities and powers, we're kind of familiar with them, aren't we? I mean, a little bit. We know they're associated with angels, so we kind of have this idea that they're kind of... But they're more than just associated with angels. They're the hierarchy of the angelic world. And they're classified into two different groups. We understand that there are some in our readings over in Ephesians who are sitting here watching the church unfold the manifold wisdom of God. The church is unfolding to them as they watch the manifold wisdom of God. Those are kind of, you know, those are the guys that didn't leave their first estate. Those are the ones that are still hanging in there in the heavenly places. But even they are below Him in whom we are complete. And then there are some that are not they're not on His side. They're the ones that rebelled. These are the ones, look over in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Colossians. These are the ones He spoiled. He robbed them. He stripped away from them. He divested them of any power that they have. He spoiled these principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them in it. So what's the deal? Well, He's the head, but not all things are under Him yet. Only the church has been put under Him. We don't see all things yet under His feet. And so you got a real warfare going on. You and I do. We battle these all day long. That's what Ephesians says. We wrestle not against earthly things. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We wrestle against these hidden, rulers of darkness. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, let's go over there and look at it. We can come back to Colossians real quick. But He's the head of these, but that we don't see them under His feet. And we don't see all things under His feet. Chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against this earthly stuff, flesh and blood, but yet all day long, don't you feel like you're wrestling against flesh and blood? Goodness gracious. What am I going to do? I'm going to remember that I'm complete in Christ. I'm not going to be taken unawares by the wiles of the devil. I'm going to be as sharp as a tack. It's every morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to file that nail head or that nail so that when I drive it into the wood, it just goes right through the wood. I don't have to pound and pound and pound. I'm going to realize my position as His child. It says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against the church that's up on the next street that has a huge congregation. I'm not wrestling against my wife. I'm not wrestling against my husband. I'm not going to wrestle against my kids. That's not who the real warfare is. I'm to love. Love is to dwell in me as it dwelt in Him. The love of Christ is to dwell in me. You know, when Satan attacked our Lord when He was in the desert, you know, he didn't hit Him in the nose, chop Him on the neck. What did He give Him? He gave Him the Word of God. Whatever it was, he says, you know, whether bread, water, nap, Word of God. Whether it's all these kingdoms and all this glory and all this position and all this honor and all this money and all these things, not that. Mm-mm. It's the Word of God. Don't need it. Why? I'm content. I'm content with what God has given me. And you stop and think about it. If you're lucky, you get 70. But in the broader picture of 100 or 200 or 300 years, 70 is it's nothing. And we fight over some of the dumbest things. We wrestle against flesh and blood over things that in 50 years, sometimes in 5 years, no one even remembers. Who cares? The only thing that matters is the truth. And that's what Paul's fighting against here. So, verse 13, you're still there in Ephesians 6. Look at verse 13. Put on the whole armor. Put it on and leave it on. Don't take it off. Don't forget to wear it. You don't need the armor of philosophy. You don't need the armor of tradition. You don't need the armor of the rudimentary things, you know, the ABCs. It's just we get so caught up in, well, you know, everybody's so hot on Freud and everybody's so hot on Darwinism and everybody's so, you know, are you sure that it was created? I mean, it seems like it makes more sense that it just kind of evolved. You could go, duh. How can you say something that stupid? I mean, something out of nothing? I love that. But then they just stick on it. And we begin to worry. We begin to doubt. We begin to, maybe I'm missing something here. No. No, we don't miss anything. The truth is the truth. We just stick with it. Now, it may not make sense. I'm sure when Joshua was given the responsibility to lead Israel over the Jordan and to take the land, he says, come on, Moses, let's go. And Moses said, no, I'm hanging back. God said, I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to stay here. It probably didn't make much sense because Moses had led him. And Joshua didn't want to be alone. He didn't want to be out there fighting the Amalekites, you know. Those guys were big and tough. He didn't want to have to mess with the king of Sihon, and he didn't want to have to fight all those folks on the other side of the river that were in the land. God called him and said, do it. Now, the first step out was wonderful because, you know, they really kicked Jericho. And then the next one was Ai. And they tripped and they fell flat on their nose. And you remember why? Some guy found some stuff. And he thought, that's cool. That gold? I'll just dig my little hole in the tent and put it in there and no one will know. God knows. God knows your heart. God understands. Don't grab these things that take away from Christ and begin to think that you're doing something for God. Whether you stand up here or whether you teach in a room in the back or you sing the song, or you do wonderful, wonderful things that people pat you on the back. Let me tell you, I'd rather hear well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's eternity. Now some of these things he begins to talk about, come back to Colossians 2, he begins to show us that all of these rudimentary things, these things that will rob us and these things that will beguile us, go back into the law and the origination of the law. He begins by talking about circumcision in verse 11 and baptism in verse 12. And none of those will give you victory. None of them. Not in the in the Pharisaical way or the Judaizers. You know, Paul went on his prison ministry. He and Barnabas went out, and when they came back, they had a glorious message. God's opened the door to the Gentiles. Jews are believing everywhere. And they get back to Antioch, and they're spending a long time in Antioch, and all of a sudden these guys from Jerusalem come down. It's Acts 15, you can read it. And they start talking about, well, listen, you guys have got to circumcise and keep the law of Moses. And Paul's saying, wait a minute, let's go down to Jerusalem. So he and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem and they begin to talk. God had already set it up. Peter had already seen his, you know, his vision. And so Peter starts to talk and everybody in the room goes, oh, okay. I mean, you read the account, everybody's silent. They just quit. Because Peter just shut them down. The just shall live by faith. Let's not put any more of a burden on them than God has put on us. The just shall live by faith. We don't have to keep the law. But they were obedient to the law. Christ was obedient to the law. We're not. We're not under the law. There's those Jewish Christians and those Gentile Christians. But the Gentiles did get four laws that they had to obey so that these people could come together and fellowship. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians, how much trouble that created. But that economy no longer applies. So we don't have to worry about circumcision. God does that. Why? Because we're complete in Christ. Look at verse 11. In Christ you've been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In the putting off of the body of the flesh, of the sins of the flesh, but of the sins of is not really in your passage. It's only been put in there by the translator. It's really in putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There's a picture there. There's a picture. This is that idea of justification by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let me put it to you another way. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained we should walk in. We're at that poem. That's that. We are His workmanship. That's that word poema. We're His poem. Your life, your life, your life, my life. It is the poem of Christ. It is the poem. It's the workmanship of God. Now, sometimes I don't like what He does, but He's done it. He's completed it. He's the potter. I'm the clay. What He didn't do is He didn't take this old messed up piece of clay that was full of sin and then refashion it and make it new. He took that and, yeah, He threw it away. He started all over with a new lump. And that's our verse for this month at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, all things are new. We are a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old things have passed away. We're complete in Christ. We don't need circumcision because He's already done the circumcision. Circumcision, we know, had this identification, just like baptism. But it was a spiritual circumcision that takes care of that. God does it. Look at verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, in which also you've been risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. It's all by who? God. It's a work of God. There's not a thing I can do except say, praise God. And look at verse 13. I who was dead, you who were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, or He's made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. He's won the battle. He's won the fight. You have victory in Christ. Don't fall prey. Don't, you know, that's your New Year's resolution. Don't be beguiled by these enticing words that people throw out there trying to lead you astray into something that doesn't speak of the truth. And the devil's got error out there all over the place. It's not just, it gets worse. I mean, they try to look in verse 16, judge you in your food, in your drink, in your respect of a holy day or a feast day, or of a new moon or a Sabbath. These are what, verse 17, nothing but a shadow. They're not the reality. The body understands the full reality of the completeness in Christ. Then it gets even worse in verse 18. It talks about voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. Can that happen? Sure. Oh my goodness. It's everywhere in Christianity. It creeps in and has such a subtle effect. Wonderful book by Dave Hunt called The Seduction of Christianity, really speaks about these things. If you ever get a chance, read it. We're going to stop there. We're going to come back to and pick up verse 14 next time. But don't forget, get a copy of this, which is out there, Complete in Christ, by William Hallman. It's a wonderful little... I mean, this man understands the truth that we have, that we don't need to add anything to it. That we're filled to the full. We understand the reality of what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. Rightly divided. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the blessing of knowing. The full assurance, as Paul even wrote earlier. The full assurance of understanding the mystery that you have of yourself in Christ. What a wonderful position you've given us, Father, in Him, to be raised with Him, to be seated with Him, alive with Him in the heavenlies far above. One day, Father, we'll enjoy that reward. We praise You for that. May each heart understand and grasp that. May each person begin to know and live in the reality. We thank You for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.